Our next speaker is Kara Hume. Kara Hume is an investigator at the Franklin Porter Graham Child Development Institute at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. Please welcome Kara.
Thanks. I'm excited to be here. I was able to attend kind of the first, I think, LENA gathering in Boulder a few years ago. Last year, I had about a four-day-old baby, so I didn't make the trip, but I'm excited to be back. And I have not yet used him in a LENA study, but I'm planning on it now when I go home. So I am here to share with you about our LENA use in classrooms for young children on the autism spectrum. And like many of the other programs of research using LENA, this is all very early, very descriptive, and very preliminary, because we just really don't know what it is we think norms should be in these environments, and what language of teachers of young children with autism should look like. I have a great group of collaborators, and I'll share with you a little bit of the context that we're using LENA in. We're gathering this LENA data as part of a much larger project. So the LENA data is just a very small piece of the data that we're gathering. And this is a project funded by IES, and Sam Odom and Brian Lloyd are the co-PIs of that study. And we're looking at comparing two different comprehensive treatment models for young children with autism. For those of you who are not familiar with the autism acronyms, we're looking at the TEACH program and the LEAP program. Those are both historical, comprehensive educational models in the field of autism. They are both widely used, and they both lack very rigorous evidence of efficacy, like most interventions, classroom-based interventions do in the field of autism. And so we're comparing these two models to each other, and we're also comparing to kind of a third model, which we term a business-as-usual model, our control group, which is really just classrooms using best practices, eclectic practices for children on the autism spectrum, not adhering to one specific theoretical model. We're a four-year study. We're working across four sites in Colorado, Florida, Minnesota, and our site in North Carolina. I'll give you just a little bit more context about the project, and then if you have questions about kind of the larger project, I'm happy to talk with you about those later. But we're a quasi-experimental study, so we are studying classrooms that already exist. We didn't set up these classrooms and then randomly assign children or teachers. There is a very rigorous screening process, so we're essentially saying that we're comparing high-quality classrooms across all three of these conditions. So teachers are screened and have to meet quality control standards using a classroom quality checklist designed for children with autism spectrum. And then if they're implementing one of the two comprehensive treatment models, they also have to meet a high level of quality on the implementation of those model elements as well. So they're enrolled either at Teach Week or a VAU, and then they assist with the recruitment. So they recruit the students from their classrooms to participate in the study. Our inclusion criteria is that they need to be between the ages of 3 and 5. They need to have a diagnosis of autism or autism spectrum disorder, or meet the diagnostic criteria that on the assessments that we provide, including the ADOS. And then the assessment battery begins, and we're using 27 standardized assessment measures, and those are for students, the families, and the teachers. So they're child-directed, or, you know, we give many of the measures, and there's also standardized checklists, and those go across cognitive domains, language domains, social, maladaptive behavior, repetitive behavior, sensory issues. For the families, we're looking at mental health issues. For the teachers, we're looking at teacher philosophy. So it's a very large battery. And then a piece of that, in the next, kind of the light green there, is we're collecting video and audio data as well. So in the fall, we collect a 30-minute video sample of each child during center time. And that's coded using an eco-behavioral assessment, so we're looking at what's happening in the environment during that center time, who's interacting with whom, where are the children, what are the teachers doing, and so we're coding that data. And then we're also collecting the LENA data. So we collect the LENA data for one school day for most of our children, which is around 3 hours, so most of these children are in half-day preschool programs. Sometimes the video and audio data happen on the same day. So I know we have talked to other people using LENA. Are there some overlapping video data and audio data? And we do have some of that, not all of our kids. And had we known back then, we would have scheduled to do all of those on the same day, because that would add another interesting way to analyze some of the data. Then we do 4 classroom visits, kind of quality control checks during the year so we can carefully document exactly what is being implemented in these classrooms. And then we repeat that assessment battery in the spring. So there's at least 6 months between our fall and spring assessment. And we collect the NALENA data again at that time point. For 2 of our cohorts, we have a follow-up data point, and that's an additional 6 months later, usually in December. Unfortunately, we don't collect LENA data at that time point, so we only have LENA data at our time 1 and time 2 for all of our cohorts. And where we are, so we're in our final year of data collection. We have 3 cohorts of students. And our project data, we have 71 teachers that are participating across the 3 different classroom types, and that's 208 kiddos with autism and their families. However, we're just using the LENA system at our North Carolina site. Our Minnesota site has used it with some children and not all children. So the LENA data subset comes from just North Carolina, which we'll present today, and that's 21 teachers. One kind of another disappointment, another had we known, is that in North Carolina we don't have LEAP classrooms, so it's just not a model that is used in our state. So we only have the teach classroom and the control classroom. So when we want to look at model differences across LENA variables, we'll only have those 2 types of classrooms to analyze. We have 66 children in our North Carolina site, and the data I'll be talking about today is just cohorts 1 and 2, so that's 40 of those 66 children and 14 teachers. So we are not yet, and it has taken lots of restraint, but none of the research staff has looked at any of the outcome data to date. So if you've seen any of us present on anything anywhere, it's about descriptive data, it's about what our samples look like, it's about things like what we'll present today. So all of our assessors are not blind to classroom condition. It's very hard to be blind to these. The classrooms look very different. The composition of the class is very different. So our assessors know when they're assessing what classroom model. So to help control any bias during assessment, you know, we don't want to know ahead of time, you know, teach kids really aren't doing this or are doing this. So we haven't looked at any outcomes. We haven't looked at any model differences. So today you'll see just really basic descriptive and what we're seeing on time point 1. And so what we're looking at today is kind of the baseline. What are adults doing in these classrooms? How does it relate to teacher variables and child variables? We know, you know, there's a strong body of research that says that teacher talk is important, but the type of talk, the amount of talk, the responsivity of teachers is important. So we know that's important. What does it look like for students on the autism spectrum? We don't know. And we're hoping to just kind of get a glimpse of that with these studies. And I know there's 2 other groups I'm really eager to talk to that are using this at Purdue and at in Akron in classrooms. And so I'm eager to hear what their findings are as well. So looking at descriptive information, so who is our sample? And then what is the relationship between adult word count and child variables, then adult word count and teacher variables, and then any teacher variables that might predict adult word count. So our sample, we have, like I said, 40 kids and 32 boys and 8 girls, which is exactly the 4-to-1 ratio you tend to see in children on the autism spectrum. Here's our racial and ethnic demographics. And just kind of our baseline information about our kiddos. So this is all at time 1, when the initial LENA data was collected. The mean age is 48 months, so we have mostly 4-year-olds. And our range is from the new 3s to right before age 5. We'll look at 3 standardized measures here. The first, the preschool language scale, has a standard score of 100. So you can see where our kiddos are performing on that and their age equivalent. And same with the Mullen, standard scores here and age equivalents here. And then the ADOS, for those not in the autism world, that's a diagnostic measure. And it's recently been calibrated so that you can give, children can obtain a severity score, which just allows you to compare across time points when it's given and across modules. 10 is the most severe, so you can see where our kiddos fall on that. Our teacher sample is really a little boring. It's very homogeneous, which I think often happens in teacher samples. We have all women
okay? All white women, the one woman that identifies as Hispanic, and here's our education levels. So 43% with a bachelor's and 8% with a master's. Here's our mean years of teaching experience, and then here's the current position. And here I've just listed our teacher inclusion criteria so you can have a sense of who the teachers were. So here is some of the good stuff. Here's one of our kiddos wearing the Lean vest. So the amount of data that we've collected, again, this is just at time one, 109 hours. There's our totals for adult word counts. And here's our raw data. So here's our average reporting time. It's quite short, 2 hours and 39 minutes. Here's our raw data for adult word counts, child vocalizations, and conversational turns. And we usually use our data in rate by minute because it is such a short recording time. It doesn't make sense to do it by hour. So here, by minute, you can see we have an average of 32 adult words per minute, 3.19 conversational turns per minute, and 1.04, child vocalizations, and here's conversational turns. The next question is, what does that mean? We don't really know. The current sample that's published, Steve Warren and colleagues have a study published looking at a sample of kids with ASD, but their sample is 16 to 48 months, where our sample you saw is 36 to 59 months. It makes it difficult to compare across that. I was just talking with Jill, in the natural language study that's out, these are slightly higher than the average, than the rates of conversational turns and child vocalizations for a typical 48-month-old. So, and that's similar to what you found with your hearing loss sample, that there were more vocalizations for your students with hearing loss than your students without. And so this may be because they're in school the whole time, it may be because it's inflated if the kiddos have echolalia, it may be, we don't know, but something to just kind of start the conversation around how many words the kids are exposed to and how many words or vocalizations they're producing. There was no correlation, okay, so this is looking now at adult word count and teacher variables between teacher experience and adult word count. And I'm sure that the greatest influence here is that we don't have much variability in our teacher experience or education. So all of our teachers have a bachelor's degree. Steve Warren found that for the parents of typically developing children, that if they had a college degree, there were significantly more words, and it was trending in that direction for kids with ASD. You know, so we thought, oh, let's just break it out and see for teachers with advanced degrees, might they be speaking more? Yeah, but you can tell it's about one word per minute more, so I don't think we'll have an article to publish on that. Comparing here, so again, these are very different settings, different age ranges, different samples, but comparing our adult word count to the adult word count in Warren's study, here's the ASD sample and the typically developing sample, you can see that teachers in our limited sample are using a lot more words, a lot, I guess is a general term, than parents. And my guess is that's to be expected. These students are in school, you know, 2 hours and 39 minutes. The goal is to increase language. These are teachers that have college degrees and advanced degrees. But again, it's very difficult, I think, at this point to compare across these really different samples. Hopefully this will give us some baseline information. So there were some significant correlations between adult word count and child variables, although not as many as other people have found in their studies. So in Steve Warren's study, they found significant correlations between almost every measure of child ability or child functioning, where we found significant correlations with the age equivalent of visual reception, which is often used in our field as kind of a nonverbal cognitive measure, and then age equivalent in expressive language on the Mullen. You can see approaching significance on the PLS, and non-significance elsewhere. And this may be because of our very limited recording time, it may be because of our sample, I don't know, but it definitely is different than what I've seen in other findings around correlations between adult word counts and child functioning. And one thing to note here is this negative trend, and that's similar to what has been found elsewhere, that the more severe, essentially, a child is, the fewer adult words. And this is not significant, but I do think it's a trend to just start paying attention to. I think there are lots of ways to think about that or understand that. Sometimes, lots and lots of language for a child who's severely impaired may not be beneficial. If processing time is impacted, then it might be best to provide only relevant and meaningful language, or perhaps they're supplementing language with visuals or something else. So I think just as a field, we'll have to decide, are more words, does more equal better with a more severe population? So just all things to think about. And again, nothing exciting here. So teacher experience or teacher education did not significantly predict adult word count in this sample. So just a few things, and again, I hope to talk more about these things in our roundtable tomorrow, about LENA use in schools. So there are some challenges. One of the first is this idea of so many adults. So in our classrooms with children with ASD, you typically have a teacher, you may have up to 2 to 3 paraprofessionals, you have therapists coming in and out. And if you want to link these LENA variables to adult characteristics, it makes it very difficult to do that. Also, issues around meaningful data. So in kind of a louder or more chaotic setting, as preschool classrooms for children with ASD often are, how much data is lost. What we found so far is that we have, on average, about 26% of our data is being coded as meaningful data, which I think that's fairly similar to what was found in some of the natural language samples. Also, this issue around shorter recording time. So we know LENA gets more accurate the longer it's being worn, and if we are using these in school settings, especially preschools where they're so short, how can we account for that or address that? And then in our sample, just limitations. You know, we have a small N and an N that has very limited variability when we're talking about the adults. We don't have a comparison group, so again, in hindsight, had we, you know, put LENA on some typically developing preschool children, that would have been beneficial. The minimal recording time. And then we have this issue of vest resistance, and this may be, you know, autism specific. The neonates are probably not fighting off the vest, but so some of our kiddos, because of rigidity related to their autism, because of sensory issues related to their autism, just will not wear the vest. So this little one I love, she has her LENA skirt on. She would not wear it. I mean, it is the vest, but she would not wear it as a vest. She pulled it down and wore it kind of as a belt skirt. And so I don't know, you know, how that impacts the accuracy of the LENA data. We've had to bribe, we've had to do stickers, we've had to follow them around with the vest. So, I mean, I think these are challenges that, we'll just have to figure out when we are working with this population how to address the vest resistance. And then just brief conclusions. So there is a link between adult word count and some child characteristics. In our study, we have not found a link between adult word count and teacher characteristics. But questions that we're excited to continue to explore are how these LENA rates change between time one and time two, how the LENA variables relate to additional standardized measures. We have found the other LENA variables, child vocalizations and conversational turns, are significantly correlated with expressive language on the Mullen, so we still have more to explore. How, what teacher and child variables may predict the rate of change that we find on LENA variables? So there's a recent study in the autism literature that child inattentiveness and social unresponsiveness are two kind of behavioral characteristics that then predict later language. Well, we have composites, I mean, we could kind of create these composite variables with measures that we have and see if that predicts. And then teacher responsiveness, there's studies in the autism literature showing parent responsiveness impacts later language, and so what about teacher responsiveness? And then one of our biggest questions is, might model differences have an influence on adult word count and child variables? And then we're open to discussion tomorrow on any of your ideas on what we can do with all this valuable data. So, thanks.